King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Welcome to the Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast. I'm your host, John Browner. We call this here little thing the Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast because sometimes we kind of talk about sports and we sort of talk about other things. Now, we're at the point in this podcast or where you guys kind of have a feel for who I am and what I'm doing. And if you're not and you're new to it, thank you for joining. You can always like the page on Facebook at Kinda Sorta Sports Podcast. You can look that up on Facebook. You can email me at kindasortapodcast@gmail.com. You can find this podcast at the iTunes subscription store by putting in John Browner's Podcast. Or you can just Google John Browner's Podcast and it'll come up. The first thing and the only thing I want to get to today is the killing of Michael Brown. Now, a lot of you guys know the details of the situation. And if you don't know the details of the situation, shame on you. I mean, literally, read a book, watch the news, read your Facebook page. It's everywhere. Go on Twitter lately, you should know something about what's going on in the death of this young man. And I say that, and I'm going to address this particular topic because this podcast should be a voice for the voiceless. And that's kind of how this thing started, also with the fact that I like to talk about sports. But the sort of portion of this podcast began because I just wanted to say things that I knew other people were thinking. And sometimes me saying things or giving a voice to things that other people are thinking applies to actual things that are going on in life outside of sports. And so when we start talking about what happened to Michael Brown, there are a ton of roads that this conversation can go down. There are a lot of fingers that can be pointed at a lot of people. There are a lot of ways we can examine this and, in all honesty, still not come up with an answer. Still not come up with a situation where we can say it's this guy's fault or this shouldn't have happened or that shouldn't have happened. We've allowed ourselves, and as ourselves, I'm speaking to the African-American portion of this program, because obviously I'm a black guy. We've allowed ourselves to be put into a rock and a hard place. We like the attention that the thug life gets. We like the swag that comes along with being a street person, being hood, being a gangster. We like that. We want to be portrayed as that. In our community, we think that's cool. The problem is, it's not cool. Now, ironically, in this particular situation with Michael Brown, he and the person who was with him at the time of the shooting were simply walking in the street. Literally, simply walking in the street when they were approached by this officer. Much like Trayvon Martin was simply walking home from the store. Much like, I can't remember the guy's name who was put in a chokehold by the New York Police Department, was simply hanging out in his neighborhood, selling Lucy's. For those of you who don't know, Lucy is a loose cigarette, which last time I checked, wasn't a felony. It wasn't an arrestable crime. So, when we have put ourselves in a position to where we want people to think this is cool by putting off the image of being thuggish, by being gangster, now we're being judged that way. And judged by who? We're being judged by the media that way. This campaign that popped up on Twitter actually is the reason why I'm having this podcast. Because I wasn't going to get into this topic because it really was, it's too broad. Coming from my perspective, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And so I've seen violence. I know violence. I know where the heart of violence comes from. I've spoken about violence on this very podcast. So I'm speaking from an experienced position. I know what it's like to be harassed by the police in your neighborhood where you live. I know what it's like to be followed walking home by officers because you look suspicious. So when I tell you that walking up the street is now a crime, you may laugh if you don't know what that means. But it's now coming to a point where in African American, predominantly African American communities, it is against the law to do anything a police officer doesn't like. Now, if you watch the interview of the actual eyewitness who had to run for his life from this psychotic police officer, he simply said the officer asked them to move from the street. They said they were less than 100 yards away. I doubt he said the word 100 yards. They were close to home and they would be out of the street soon. In which he said the officer dismissed them and drove away for a split second, only to reverse his vehicle and block both lanes of the street. Now the question should become, in that officer's mind, what occurred in those 2 to 3 seconds which allowed him to leave these two boys alone and then reverse his vehicle to approach these two boys in an arresting and an intimidating manner? What was he trying to gain over these two young men? To the point where he ended up killing one of them. Now, in the Trayvon Martin case, we had the murderer's word versus the victim's word, which was basically a cry for help and then a gunshot. In this case, we have an eyewitness. Now, they're going to try to discredit this eyewitness. They're going to try to make him look like a moron, some thug, much as like the media has already done with Michael Brown. I'm here to tell you something about what the media is doing in portraying these young people who have been murdered simply going home. They're making them into thugs. So the story has more juice to it. They're making them into criminals through pictures that they find of them. Now, I can guarantee you they could have called any television station, website, blog, any publication that posts pictures of anything could have contacted Michael Brown's family and got a picture of him from them. Because when that kid shot up that movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, the picture that popped up of him was not one of malice. He was wearing a tie, looking very, very, very unthreatening. Looked like he wouldn't harm a fly. When the Columbine shooting happened, the first two pictures you saw of those boys were not in black trench coats. Those came later. When the school, when that young man, I think it was Adam Lanza, I think that was his name, I may be wrong, shot that preschool up or that elementary school up, the first picture that popped up of him was not threatening. And I say this because it can be done. non-threatening pictures exist of these kids. Walking home in a hoodie is not a crime. Walking home in the middle of a street where there's no traffic is not a crime. These kids didn't live in the, city. This wasn't a busy street. This is a suburb that they live in which they may know everyone who drives up and down that street. Those people, those kids, knew the traffic pattern in that neighborhood. So they felt safe to walk in the street. So let's be clear about this. These kids were targeted by this police officer. And now, in Michael Brown's death, he's being targeted by the media. Not calling him a thug, but posting images of him that are unflattering. Posting images of him that set undertones of what someone would think of someone posed for a picture like that. Now, we all know what innuendo is. We all know when someone's trying to say something without saying something. If you don't believe me or if you don't know what an example of that is, try watching Fox News as they continuously try to challenge the manhood of the president without actually challenging the president's manhood. Innuendo. And so when you see these people with these pictures put up of Michael Brown, where are the pictures of Michael Brown as a student? Why isn't he smiling? Why they don't have a picture of him with his hands to his side? Because wherever they got that one picture from, there are many. But for some reason, they chose that one. Why? What's the purpose? What are you trying to show your viewing public by putting a picture of Michael Brown with some sort of a hand sign up, which is, in that community, a peace sign, not a gang sign, by the way, for those of you who didn't know. And for those of you who don't know what this picture looks like, I will post the picture up as part of the pictures that I post when I load the podcast up. So you will see this picture. Now, to the original point I addressed before, why is it okay for an officer to approach two young black men walking in the street with such anger and in dangerous intent? Why is that okay? Is it because of the way we're portrayed? Why was it now on audio of a police officer during the protest of Michael Brown's death being overheard saying, "These people are fucking animals"? There are three black police officers on this police force in which they have in this suburb or in this area of Missouri. Three. Out of 97, there are three black cops. So when you get overheard saying these people are fucking animals as a police officer after coming on the heels of shooting an unarmed teen with his hands up on his knees, this looks bad. This looks like this police department has a problem with the community in which they're supposed to be serving. Because that's what they do, right? It's supposed to protect and serve. Whose interest are they serving? Whose safety are they protecting? Are the people they're protecting living in a zoo? Hence them being fucking animals? In what part of protect and serve is stop and gun down? Where is that oath? When did the black youth become expendable? When? Because it's clear that the life of black young men are expendable when it comes to police patrol, in the case of George Zimmerman, and literal police patrol in the case of Michael Brown. What has made it acceptable for us, and by us I mean African Americans, black people, to be portrayed as gangsters, as animals, as less than human? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, because I watch a lot of the news. Why is it that I never see young white teen gunned down? And I don't want that. I'm glad I don't see that. But you never see that. It'll be a long time before you see on the news white teen gunned down. Unarmed white teen gunned down. Why is that? Because when they report these stories, they want you to believe these are cases of individual case-by-case basis. These things should not be lumped together. But they keep happening to the same class and race of person. You don't see Chinese kid gunned down. You don't. Italian kid gunned down. You don't. You don't see that. So, these are not coincidences. These are cases where the police are targeting particular parts of the community and they're executing these people. Unarmed. Defenseless. In the street. And so, when I see this, it fires me up. And I want to address these things. But at the same time, like I said, there's so many of these roads that this conversation can go down. And I want to share one more thing with the black community. I would like to share one more thing with that suburban Missouri community. Don't burn your own shit down. Do not riot where you live. This is not Rodney King. Don't burn down your neighborhood. Because you're not hurting them. You're hurting you. You are taking the image that they're trying to paint you as on television and making it worse. By burning down your own neighborhood gas stations. Breaking into your own neighborhood stores. Don't ruin your neighborhood as part of protest for what's happening within your community. You don't need Al Sharpton to come on television and stand alongside of those parents of that dead child to make your point. You don't need that. We don't live in that age anymore. Your voice can be heard. This is where social media can become an absolute juggernaut. This is where Facebook and Twitter and Instagram that you spend so much time on in the black community, so you know how to use it. Stop using it to degrade yourself and start using it to uplift your community. You don't need to burn down the gas station to show that you're upset about what happened to Michael Brown. Take to Twitter. Start a campaign like someone did. Start a Facebook page like someone should. There are things that you can do now to fight the mainstream media. Because the next time they want to cover a dummy on the news for what happened and pass over the educated person who also saw what happened, we don't have to stand for that anymore. You don't have to stand for that anymore. What happened to Michael Brown was a tragedy. The fact that the police department won't release his name because of a violent act that he committed against their community is laughable. Because he knows that violence will fall upon him. I think that's laughable. If you look at some of the pictures that are emerging from these protests of riot gear dressed police officers with guns and handcuffs strapped to their back and bulletproof vests strapped to their chest for people doing non-violent protest. Something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong. It's time we find other ways to fight. And by we, I mean the people of the United States of America, find a way to fight back in the media. Much like athletes have bypassed ESPN and Fox and CBS Sports and all these other people who are covering sports by going to Twitter, going to Facebook and stating their own comments, building their own websites telling you where they'll be playing next. You, as an American, have the right to do the same thing. Don't burn down your neighborhood when you're angry, because it makes you look worse. The person who murdered Michael Brown will be brought to justice one way or the other. And that's just the fact of the situation. This man will be brought to justice. But before that happens, we have, as people, have to show unity. We have to take outtakes like that police officer saying these people are fucking animals and show that person, show those people who feel that way, that you are not. Show them you are educated. Show them that you do have strength in numbers. Show the world that you are more than a group of black people who will riot over the death of one of your own. Show the world that you will organize, that you will protest, and that you will have justice bestowed on your community for what happened to Michael Brown the right way. Because we've been doing it the other way far too long. I'm John Browner. You've been listening to the Kind of Sort of Sports podcast. I will leave a moment of silence at the end of this for Michael Brown. And as I always say on this podcast, never, ever give up. Peace.